Well, good morning. Good morning. Hey, welcome. My name is Jeffrey. I'm one of the teaching pastors here, and I am honored to get to jump into our Bless This Home series that we kicked off last week. I've been thinking a lot about a few years ago. I had the opportunity to go with some of our team, and we got to meet former President George W. Bush. I got to meet a president, okay? You can be happy for that. It's neat. All right. Goodness gracious. So, and before everybody like gets all weird, we're talking about politics and church and everyone instantly starts to freak out. It's a president of the United States, okay? I would meet former President Obama. I would meet current President Biden. I would meet former President Trump. They led the free world, okay? I don't care what your politics are. Meeting a president is legit. And I got to do it. It was awesome. And so we had to get all dressed up. It was going to be in Dallas. And so we had to get all dolled up. And I put on a suit. And you know when you see somebody and it looks like they're wearing their granddad's suit? I look like I was wearing my granddad's suit, okay? I did not fit in. It is rich, hoity-toity people, and then this guy. But we got to get all dressed up, and we went, and we were at the venue, and we started the process of going into this dinner. And it was a process. We went through metal detectors, and then we went through like a pat-down thing, and then they took our phones, because there's no videos or photos available in there. And then you went through one more security check. And before we even did that, we had to do a background check just to come to the dinner. It was wild. So we sit there and we have this dinner. And one thing you need to know about me, I love politics. I love thinking about it, talking about it. If you want to get me off on a rant, I love talking about politics. It's fun. And so getting to meet a president, I was like, my heart is beating fast. Like, it's like a dream come true. And so we do the dinner, and then they start to release tables, and you get in line. And so I'm in line. There's like 50 people ahead of me. And I could see the president. He's like right there. He's a former president. I could see him. And then it was like 40 people. My heart started to beat faster. 30 people. It's like, I'm really going to get to meet the president. 10 people. 5 people. And then everything changed. It was such a great night before this. A gigantic human, the Hulk, grabs me by my shoulders and spins me around to where we are this close to one another. And listen, I'm okay. I've got golden doodles, so I'm okay with personal space being violated all the time. But all the golden doodle peoples know what I'm talking about. They shove their dumb faces right in yours, but that's neither here nor there. This dude is closer to me than any person that I ever want to be that's name is not Sarah Turner. And we are face to face. And he looks at me and he goes, get your hands out of your pocket. And I'm like, oh God, I'm about to go to jail. And I just hold my hands out to him and like, look, there's nothing. I'm in it. And I forgot that one of the things they told us is do not approach the president with your hands in your pockets. Now, I'll be honest with you, thinking back on that moment and thinking like looking at me, not necessarily the type of person you would send if you're going to try to harm a president, right? I'm frilly. Like, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to do anything to, that's insane. Plus, we went through all these security measures, and yet still, they were going to do all they could to make sure they protected the president. Here's what's crazy. He wasn't the president at the time. He's former president. He's not even leading the country anymore. Like, he just used to be the president. But from the time he became president till the time he dies, he's a former president. And then after he dies, he's just a former dead president. That's just what he is. Right? Forever, he will be the former president, and he's going to be protected. Because even as the former president of the United States, his role, that office, still holds a ton of weight, and so we will protect him because it matters. Just like we'll protect President Biden when he is out of office, just like we protect President Obama, President Trump, like they get protected because they matter, and we protect things that matter to us. Now, on a macro scale, we all do the same thing. You probably don't protect the president. If you do, my email is on the website, and I want you to email me. I bet you have stories that I want to hear. But we all protect things that matter to us, things that are valuable in our eyes. It's why we have banks. It's why we don't just take our money and shove it into our mattress at the house, right? We put our money in a bank because it is theoretically safer there than it's going to be under my mattress. It's why we protect our kids, because they're so valuable and they matter to us, and we want to see them grow, and so we try to protect them as much as we can. We protect our futures. We have 501ks, and we've got retirement funds. We protect our time. We protect the things that matter to us all the time. It's just what we do. ingrained deep inside of each of us is this need to protect the valuable things. But I was thinking this week about something that we all hold, every single one of us, no matter if you're at our South Campus, North Campus, online, you're listening to this 5 years from now. Every single one of us has something that is so utterly and immensely and overwhelmingly valuable, and yet we leave it unprotected constantly. And if we can figure out the value of this thing, I guarantee you our response to protecting it will be so different. It's our hearts. See, Proverbs says this, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Let's try something really quick. Above all else. You wanna know what all means? All. It means everything, like all. All is all. It's not hard sometimes. Sometimes reading the Bible, super easy. And then we go on for, oh, we did so good with all. How'd we mess up everything? For everything. You know what everything means? Everything. You're catching on. I mean, this is extreme language from the writer of the book of Proverbs. He says, for all and everything. These are huge words. In my family, in our household, we have a rule that we don't use extreme language. Because as you may be able to tell, I am a fairly excitable fellow. And I've got two daughters who are also excitable and a wife that keeps us all kind of level. But like, we have an excitement in our household. And so I can very easily, when I'm parenting my kids, go, hey, every single time I tell you to do something, you don't do it. And that's not true. I mean, sometimes it's true, but it's not every single time. We don't use that because it's never that. It's never always, every time I tell you to do something, you always ignore me. It's not always. So we have a rule, you don't use extreme language because I'm gonna take you literally. This is extreme language from the writer of the book of Proverbs, and we should take it literally. Above all else, guard your heart, for every single thing you do flows from it. So guard it. Because if everything in our life flows from one place, guess what? That thing is so utterly and completely valuable. Because everything here means the way you treat your spouse, it comes from your heart. It means that the way we talk to our kids, it comes from our heart. The way we use our money, our time, the way we are at our jobs, the way we are at school, every single thing we do, according to the writer of the book of Proverbs, flows from our heart. Therefore, guard your heart. It would be impossible for us to oversell the importance of what's happening in our heart. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from that place. We kicked off a series last week called Bless This Home. We're gonna spend a few weeks talking about ways that we can live a life of blessing in our homes and personally. But if Proverbs says that everything flows from one place, then that one place is a key for us to understanding how we can be blessed. And here's what we have to know, whether we like it or not, we have an enemy that wants nothing about blessing for us. We can bury our head in the sand and pretend like the enemy doesn't exist, but the reality is you have somebody that desperately wants you to not have any of the good things that God has for you. Listen, all the good things, the blessing and blessing in abundance, the peace, the joy, the hope, all these things that God says you and I can have, we have an enemy that wants to steal all those from us, that wants to take every single one of those away from us. So guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And if God offers blessing and the enemy wants to take that blessing, I want the blessing. I want my home blessed, I want my girls blessed, I want you blessed. And we see how we have this opportunity to guard our hearts in the book of Matthew. So if you will, grab a Bible. We're gonna be in Matthew chapter 5. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible around you. If you have a phone, you can open your Bible. If you're online, there is a, Bible's a fun term. It's phone Bible mixed into one term, if you didn't catch on to that. Online, there is a Bible right there. We're gonna be in Matthew chapter 5. This is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. So the most important sermon Jesus ever gives happens in these chapters. And it starts with what we call the Beatitudes. These statements that Jesus gives when he says, blessed are thee. And so last week we talked about one. We're gonna talk about one today. And we're gonna talk about a couple more over the next few weeks. But these are keys for what we can live a life as a Jesus follower that is blessed. These are keys that he's saying, blessed are thee. He's telling us, these are how you can find blessing. This is how you can walk in the life that I have for you. And Jesus says this in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they'll see God. And if we want to guard our heart, because everything we do flows from it, it's going to be we guard it from anything that is not pure, anything that is impure. A pure heart is a vital ingredient to a blessed life. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. And he's not talking about our cholesterol. He's not talking about like our blood pressure. He's not saying if your heart, your physical heart is healthy, then you're going to be blessed. He's using a metaphor, obviously, to talk about our spirits, our souls, deep inside of who we are, our emotions, these things that aren't visible on the outside, the core parts of who we are. And he said, those that keep their heart pure are blessed. And this idea of purity would have been a huge deal for them at this time. Jesus came, if we remember, Jesus came to establish a new law, a new covenant, new relationship with the people. But before this, they've all followed all these laws that we see in the Old Testament. And all those laws are meant to help keep them pure in the eyes of God. So they're going to understand this verbiage, this vernacular of purity. Jesus says, blessed are those that are pure in heart. And purity is a funny word in here. Because it might be small, but the magnitude of the reality of what Jesus is saying is overwhelming, because partial purity is not actual purity. I want you to think for a second about your favorite dessert. Maybe you're a brownie person. Maybe you're one of those that, you know, they have the new things that they combine cookies and brownies into one cholesterol-raising dessert. Like, it's beautiful. It's delicious. It's from heaven. It's God's thing. Maybe you like cookies. Like, just, I want you to think about dessert. Maybe you're like me and your answer to dessert is always just give me more food. You're going to come to my house and I'm going to make you that dessert. For the sake of the analogy, we'll go brownies. You knock on the door. That wasn't as loud as I thought it was going to be. Open the door and I've got a plate of brownies. I mean, it is a heaping mound of brownies. It's one of those types of, like, it's so much that you see it and you immediately think, I am gonna have to take this to the office because I can't eat all those. It's that amount of brownies. And I'm standing there and I offer it up to you and you grab one and you begin the journey from you picked it up and then it's going to your mouth and you're so excited because it looks good, it's gonna taste good. And then you're like right here and you see I have a big bandage on my hand. You're like, hey, what happened? Well, I was mixing everything and I nicked my hand with the knife and it bled a little bit into the batter. But it was just a little bit, okay? It's not a lot. No, just, it's okay. Just a little bit of blood fell in there. It's maybe stitches, maybe not. It was debatable, but just a little bit got in there. And then you know what? I put milk in there and I put eggs in there and I put more batter in there. And then I even put it in the oven and then I baked it. And now here it is. Eat the brownie. If you continue the journey that you are at from here to your mouth, get out of my house. Leave our church. You're not invited back. That's disgusting. I wouldn't eat it. And it's my blood. Just a little amount of blood. I mean, think of how much batter and milk and eggs it would take to make that amount of brownies. It is so much more of everything else and just droplets of blood. And yet still that little amount of blood caused the whole thing to be impure. Things are either pure or they're not pure. There is no in between. Those brownies were impure. Just if it was the smallest droplet of blood. Partial hearts or partial purity is not purity. And when our hearts, when we can convince ourselves that our hearts are partially pure, the enemy has us exactly where he wants us because we will never fight for true purity. And if we're going to be frank and let's just step on each other's toes today, we can so easily get to the place that we believe that I'm mostly pure and that's good enough. It is comfortable to get to that place. And we can play the comparison game, right? We think about us and the way we're living our life. And then we compare ourselves to a serial killer. And we're like, listen, I haven't murdered anyone. I'm pretty good. I'm not cheating on my spouse. Overall, I'm doing pretty good. I'm making mostly good decisions. Overall, I would say that I'm in a pretty good spot. And if the enemy can get us to believe that overall our heart is pretty good, he's got us exactly where he wants us, because partial purity is not purity. The hardest part about Jesus using that word purity is it removes any ambiguity. Pure is pure, impure is impure. There is no gray. It's either pure or it's not. So what happens is we then maybe get to this revelation that we want more purity, and like we want our hearts to be pure. And so we start to polish up the outside of our life. We start to make some different decisions. I'm gonna come to church a little more. I'm gonna cuss at drivers on Buffalo Gap a little less. Still sometimes, just less. I'm gonna do some of the things that I know that I need to do, and we confuse the status of our heart with the actions that we're doing. We think that if we can just change our actions, then our heart follows. Listen, that is the wrong order. We are inverse. It is heart first and then actions, not actions that change our heart. And if we get to the place that we feel like we're just polishing up the exterior of our life, we've missed it. Polishing the exterior of our lives does not accomplish purifying our hearts. It is something so much greater than that. Cleaning up our actions, making some different decisions with how we spend our time, that's not actually going to the root issue. And so what happens is we'll fix the cussing at drivers on Buffalo Gap, and then it manifests in a different way, because we haven't actually dealt with the heart. And it's the heart that is the sick place, not my actions. And Jesus tells us about this in the book of Matthew when he says this: "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside may also be clean." Jesus says, whoa, whoa, whoa. You're worried about the wrong thing. You're worried about cleaning up the outside of your life that people see, when really the inside is all full of gunk and all messed up. This verse is hard. It's really hard here. I love our city. I love living in Abilene. I've lived here for 20 something years, 21 years. I hope to never leave here. I could do with some more trees, maybe a hill or two, but other than that, it's pretty good. But cleaning the outside of our plate and cup, that's easy in Abilene. It actually feels more weird in Abilene if somebody asks you where you go to church and your response is nowhere. You just feel like this is kind of, we're the buckle of the Bible Belt. It's easy to throw on a Christian name tag and put on your Christian t-shirts and do our Christian things and get in the right circles. It's so tremendously easy to clean the outside of our plate and the outside of the cup. It's easy for me to get stuck in the patterns of just doing the Christian things, but maybe missing what God has. Jesus is saying, shiny on the outside, that's not dealing with the heart. And a pure heart is a vital ingredient to a blessed life. What's so incredible about that verse, though, is it doesn't just say, blessed are the pure in heart. I mean, that would be great, right? Blessing, if God says that we're blessed, that is enough. But it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Now, I don't think if you have a pure heart that all of a sudden God is gonna physically manifest in front of you. That would be wild if so. I think what it's saying is, when Jesus says this in Matthew 5, I think he's saying, hey, when your heart's blessed, you're gonna see that God is who he said he is. When your heart is in the spot that it needs to be, you're gonna see that what Psalm says, that even though you might walk through the valley of the shadow of death, a difficult season, that God's there. When you're in a time that you really need God to show up as provider, and our heart's in the spot that it needs to be, then you see God by seeing that he is who he says he is, and he'll do what he said he's gonna do. When you need comfort or peace or joy, we get to see all the characteristics of God. We see that that is who he is. That is what I believe Jesus is saying when he says, you'll see God until eternity, and then we'll really see God. Seeing him show up and show off in my life sounds a whole lot like blessing. Knowing that he is who he said he is, and he'll do what he said he's gonna do in my life no matter what, sounds like a blessed life and a blessed home.
What we have to understand about a pure heart is it's not just gonna happen. We like to think that maybe that my heart, my spiritual heart, is gonna organically just get to a healthy spot. And my question would be this: does your physical heart organically get to a healthy spot? No. You know what it means? Sometimes we have to eat broccoli and not chips and queso for lunch and dinner. Right? And I love chips. I adore chips and queso. If we wanted to have a dialogue, I could give you a list of the best chips and queso in town. Like, I got thoughts on queso. I love it. You know what's not queso? Broccoli. A tiny tree. Put some salt and pepper on it, still broccoli. Bathe it in queso, now we're talking. But if I want my physical heart healthy, you know what it means? It means that sometimes I gotta say no to the unhealthy food that I like, and I love unhealthy food, and say yes to the things that are gonna make my heart healthy, like vegetables and salad. It means that sometimes we gotta exercise. And I hate the gym. Like a lot. With the fire of a thousand suns, I hate the gym. I can't explain to you how much I hate that place. And then some people run, you runners, what's wrong with you? You're running and ending up at the same spot. That makes no sense. Except, if you want your heart healthy, you have to make decisions that have actions that get your heart healthy. Yes, I would rather sit on the couch and watch another episode of TV or watch the Rangers blow another baseball game. I would rather do that. I would rather do that. But if I want a healthy heart, I have to make actionable decisions that will get my physical heart healthy. Our spiritual heart is the exact same. We have to make decisions that we are going to invest in our spiritual heart so that it gets to a healthy place. And the beginning part with a pure heart is a relationship with Jesus. The very first place. A pure heart does not happen outside of relationship with Jesus. Not knowing about Jesus. Not being able to say, you know, he's a good person. I think he has some good principles. No. This is a relationship with Jesus, walking in step with him day in and day out. That is the beginning part of a pure heart. There is no purity without it. You and I are incapable, completely, totally incapable of getting our own heart pure. It only happens through the person of Jesus, his sacrifice on the cross, and a relationship with him. But if we walk in the light, it says in 1 John, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. It is what cleans the heart. It is the only place, it is where we begin. If we desire a pure heart, which leads to a blessed life, it begins in relationship with Jesus. I can't polish my way to it. And I was working on this message this week and I got to this part. And I began to just feel such a weight about it, about this. Because this is what I want for all of us. I want you to see God like it says in Matthew, like Jesus said in Matthew 5:8. And I know that it begins in relationship with him, and I know how easy it is to spend a lifetime polishing and never finding what God has for you. I want you, more than anything else, I want you to know him. I want you to know his heart for you. I want you to know Jesus. I want you to know the peace that is only found in him. Only. I want you to know the joy. In times there should be no joy, but it's only found in him. I want you to find life, but according to Jesus, I want you to find life and life in abundance. But it's only found in him. I want you to have all that God has for you. Outside of Jesus, it will not happen. and I want you to have it. And my hope and prayer for you, if that's you and you've never said yes to Jesus, is that over the next few moments, you begin to feel God doing something in your heart, drawing you to him. And my challenge for you is this: don't run from that. Don't run from what he's trying to do in you today. A pure heart begins with relationship with Jesus. And the reality for all of us is it's gonna require everything. Purity in our heart will require us to give everything. There is no partial purity. If there's a little blood in the batter, it's all ruined. It's either pure or not, and it's gonna require us all. You shall love the Lord your God with, there's that word again, all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Every bit of our heart, soul, mind, you shall love the Lord your God with everything. And if we want a pure heart, we've got to get to the place that we begin to evaluate, are there times in my life, in my hobbies, in my entertainment, are there things that I'm not loving him with all of me? In the shows that I'm watching, the books that I'm reading, are all of them helping me love him with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind? I mean, I understand that the all is super convicting there. I feel it. I felt it this week. Getting ready to preach, looking at my time and going, God, and my life and going, God, are there areas that maybe I haven't loved you with all of me? Are there areas of maybe letting in some things that are just not making it better to do, making it easier to do that? And he took me to one thing really fast, too fast actually. It's the way I spend my time on social media. And listen, I understand social media is a cesspool, and yet still, it's so easy for me to have a normal day at work, come home and just wanna like detox for a little while. So sit on my couch and just mindlessly scroll through stuff. And I was doing that one day this week, and then this verse popped in my brain, and I thought, I'm not sure what I'm currently doing is making it easier for me to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm just not sure. I began to evaluate how I spend my time, and I think there is an invitation this morning for all of us to do that. We have to look carefully at our lives and ask the question if we have protected our hearts from any impurities. From what we watch, to how we talk. Maybe it's the comparison trap that's so easy. We've got to evaluate our life and go, are there areas that maybe I've not guarded against impurity? And then, this is going to be revolutionary. Stop doing them. I mean, it's easier said than done. I recognize this. Listen, it is so much easier for me to eat chips and queso. They're so readily available and I love them. It's not always the easy things that are going to lead us to life. I would actually say it's almost never the easiest things that will lead us to life. It's hard work to look at our lives and set aside the impurities. But once we've done that hard work, then we start to fill our life with things that will make it easier to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Things like worship. Listen, worship has never been more readily available to believers than it is now. Think of the day and age that we live in. I can open Spotify and there are tens of thousands of worship songs. And yet so often I choose to listen to just another sports podcast and not do something else. It's easy. But when we can set aside the impurity and grab hold of worship, which helps us focus on the greatness, power, and wonder of our God, we fill our lives with things like godly community. Scripture says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. My life group is so utterly invaluable to me because those people help keep me sharp and guard against impurities in my life and guard my heart for everything flows from it. We begin to fill our lives with prayer or reading the word where he's revealing himself to us. Set aside the bad, grab hold of the good. The things that are going to help us love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And parents, let's have a powwow, you and me. Our kids desperately need us to grab hold of this. When we were working on this series is really targeted at you.
Because if our kids don't see us doing it, they're going to be way less likely to do it. And I don't know, anyone that's had teenagers will tell you they've made the mistake of telling their teenager to do something that they don't do. And then that teenager eviscerates your soul in response. You tell a teenager, hey, you need to start eating healthy, and they watch you just shoving Skittles in your mouth. And they'll go, you eat healthy, fatty. Right? I mean, it's just, there's no filter. They just will burn you to the ground. My daughter's never called me fatty, just to be honest. I think she's thought it. I know she's thought it, but she didn't say it out loud. But you try to tell your kids to do something you don't do, you lose all validity with them. We need to model this for our kids. I've got to model it for mine. If I want them to be in the best position, and listen, I can't make them do it. I can't make them do lots of things, not much less this. I can't make them do it, but what I can do as a parent with these kids that are in my house for just 18 years, I can do everything I can to put them in front of the Holy Spirit and go, God, will you do something in them? Please, God, move in them. Beg him to move. But if I model it for them, the odds of them saying yes to Jesus and all that he has for them are far greater than if I slack off as a parent and they know that I'm doing it. Our kids need us to get it and to walk it out and for our actions to align with what we're saying. If we want to live a life of blessing, a pure heart is a vital ingredient. So if you will, most of you, I think the notes are done. You can put your stuff away. I'm gonna give us just a few moments to respond. If you will, if you just close your eyes, nothing happens, just helps us focus. My challenge for each of us, me included this week, is to examine ourselves. Really examine it. You're not having to give a report to anyone. But if the option is blessing and not blessing, give me blessing. And so often we leave our hearts unguarded and everything is dictated from that place. So begin to look at your life, your time, your mind. Begin to ask, are there areas that I have let impurity in? Or maybe you've gotten real good at polishing. You've gotten real good on the exterior of your life, looking like things are the way everyone should desire them to be. And yet you know on the inside it's a mess. Maybe you've never said yes to Jesus. If that's you, I want you to know that he loves you more than you can fathom. And he wants you to have the life that he has for you, but it happens in Jesus. So here in a little while, we're gonna have some prayer partners at the front. Come up and get prayer and tell them, I wanna know Jesus. For every one of us, it's gonna take boldness to really go after this stuff. A pure heart does not just organically happen. It will take work. God, would you give us the grace this week to examine our hearts and see if there are areas that we've let impurity in. Give us the grace to examine our hearts and see if maybe we've gotten real good at polishing. Give us the grace, if we've never said yes to you, to say yes to you for the first time, would we boldly go after a heart that is pure? And would we find the blessing that you offer in the midst of it? It's in your name we pray, amen. South Campus, you can stay seated for just a second. And online, we don't often end service this way, but there's a lot going on in the world, as you know. And we have lots of people that we really tremendously love and partner with in Israel right now. And if you didn't know, there's a lot going on over there.
And so I want us to just take a moment. I want us to pray for Israel, for their safety, but also want us to pray for salvation for the Middle East, not just Israel, people in Gaza, Hezbollah, people in Jordan. Like, I want us to pray for the people in Iran to find Jesus. And here's what's cool. If you talk to anyone that's doing ministry in the Middle East, there's this phenomenon that has happened. It's been happening for years where people are radically coming to know Jesus and they all say the same thing. People that do not know each other all say they saw the man in white. Like, I don't know what that is. It's Jesus. How crazy that is happening. And it is like different countries, different languages, all saying the same thing. We want to pray for salvation for those people, but also peace. It feels like, to be honest, it feels hard sometimes to pray for peace in the Middle East, not because we don't want it, because it just feels overwhelming. Yet, if we believe our God has everything in his hands, he has that in his hands too. So if you will, let's pray. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are the God of peace. So God, we pray over the Middle East right now for peace. Would you move? God, it feels overwhelming because it just feels like, how could it ever possibly happen? But would you bring peace? God, would you protect the innocent? Would you protect those that we love in Israel? God, we ask for a revival of proportions that we could never imagine in the Middle East. It's in your name we pray. Amen.